News with Nick, October 8th, 2020. It's been 4 weeks since I last did a show. I didn't realize it was that long. We're going to find out a lot of stuff about what's happened over the last 4 weeks. There's a lot to get to, so we got to start right on time for the night's show. I'm so discombobulated. But, all right, we're just going to go through the notes as usual. All right, head on over to the website. It is newswithnick.com. You can watch the video versions of the show, which are unedited. For silence, they're unedited for cat vomit, they're unedited for spills of beer. It's just a straight through shot. So you can see that for 92% of the time, I'm actually a professional. I'm not James DeFranco over here, jump cutting left and right. Is that his name, James? I don't even know. I don't know anyone's name. I'm not like a YouTuber over here, jump cutting, saying two more words, jump cutting, so it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, because I don't, but you get it straight all the way through. Very few jump cuts. Well, no jump cuts in the video version of the show. That's the point. If you want to subscribe, just subscribe using the subscribe link on the website. And speaking of the website, let's head on over to it and take a look. If you're watching the video version of the show, at least you do have the visual here. Subscribe on the right-hand side. Just type in your phone number and you will get a text message on days of the live shows, and you'll also get a message if the show's posted or whatever. And if you head on over to the episodes, that's where you'll see the video versions. Now, I'm showing you this because I fixed the website a little bit. It used to have the title of the episode and then the player, and then way below that, in small, normally font-sized font text, was like the excerpt of the show, right? I spent hours looking through the code of WordPress. Like, what is generating this stupid excerpt, and why can't I change the font on it? It has no CSS tags, so I can't change the CSS customly. I can't figure it out. I ended up creating, I think, a whole new function in WordPress called get the podcast excerpt and giving that a CSS tag and then moving that up the page. This makes no sense. I don't remember what I did. All I know is I mostly fixed it, but then I broke the excerpts for the podcast version that show up on your phone. So you weren't getting the excerpts on the podcast app. All right. So I'm like, okay, now I got to spend an hour fixing that. Fix that. And I'm like, it's fixed. And then I realize that whatever I did to fix it dropped all of like special characters out of the thing. Like apostrophes don't show up in the excerpt anymore on the phone app. And that's still, I don't know. I don't think that's worth fixing. I'll just make sure not to use apostrophes anymore on the excerpts. All right. Other things you can find at the News with Nick website. Our race results. I blog about my races, except I haven't blogged for a year. So that should be fixed because I did another race and we're going to get to it later in the show and you're going to hear about it. And also you can head on over and go to Nick Rider Tips. I revamped the Nick Rider Tips page, and if you refresh it, you get a new quote of mine. And I should be adding a new quote today, I think, because I've come across a hack. I don't know if you guys know. All right. I've recently discovered popcorn. Now, I know it sounds dumb, but I've like been eating a lot of popcorn, and I don't understand why everyone just doesn't eat popcorn all the time. You take a bag, you put it in the microwave, and you press the popcorn button, and you walk away, and you come back to a popped bag of popcorn. And now you losers are thinking, don't press the popcorn button. Everyone says don't press the popcorn button. In fact, I bet I'll Google it right now. Should I use the popcorn button? Number one, don't use the popcorn button. Seriously, don't do it. Okay, this is at food-hacks.wonderhowto.com. Seriously, don't do it. Even the popcorn bags have a warning on them telling you not to. The popcorn setting on many microwaves only has a preset time and no humidity sensor, which means the microwave can't tell when something's burning. Since the power on microwaves tends to vary, you'll never know how much you'll end up with using the preset popcorn option, a deliciously fluffy bag, or the aforementioned scorched popcorn. So how do you know when it's done? Just listen. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? Nick Ryder tip, life's too short to not use the popcorn button. It works fine. Right in. If your popcorn button doesn't work, I guess learn that it doesn't work. But my popcorn button works fine. And if your popcorn button doesn't work, you're a loser. And stop getting your microwaves at the dollar store, right? That's the Nick Ryder tip of the day. And it'll be added to the site shortly, if I remember. Speaking of websites that have been updated, thegoldticket.com. We covered this on the last show. It was a month ago. And it was this really crappy site, and it made no sense. And there were a bunch of states where you had to like buy a ticket, and then this company's going to, these two late people, not two ladies. Wow, I'm really out of whack. We're going to slow down. I'm going to take a drink. Calm down. I'm going to be okay. Thegoldticket.com. It was launched by an old man and a lady. And what they were doing is they're selling opportunities to get a clue in every state where you find this like dog tag military style necklace at a location. And if you find it, you tell them that you found it. You send a picture and you prove where you got it, and they send you $5,000. And when we covered this a month ago, the site was not very good and we were making fun of it. But now they've completely revamped the site. It's almost like they have money, which if you have $5,000 to give away in each of the 50 states, I don't know, what's that, a quarter mil? That's a lot of money. Wait, is it? Anyway, yeah, that sounds right. And so the site's completely revamped. So if we go head on over to buy a ticket, we're going to search for New Hampshire, see if they're sold out yet. No, they're not sold out. We really should do this. Hunt is scheduled for November 7th, 2020 at 10 a.m. Eastern time. It's scheduled. Okay, are there other states that aren't scheduled? Let's check Texas. Riddle release is going to be December. Oh my God. We're less than a month from the New Hampshire release. We have to get a ticket. It's only $49.98. And if we find the ticket, we get $5,000. So you would think that this was going to cause like a fiasco. People are going to be rushing places all over the place. Once you purchase this ticket, you will set up an account on our website where you can log into and view the date and time of your state's hunt. Some states will be announced in the coming weeks, so please be patient. We will also notify you of any updates about your state hunt. So email state hunt via email. So please make sure you use your regular email when checking out and provide your cell phone number so we can text you. Don't worry, we hate spam, so we promise not to spam you. After each individual state is finished with this ticket, you'll be eligible to participate in the nationwide hunt for the keys to the Candyman's factory. I'm going to have to take weeks off work if we win the state. All right, no joke. We have to buy it. I'll probably do it after the show. Or you guys can go buy it and we'll have a competition. There's no rules against like working together. But I'm not posting. If I get the clue, I'm not posting it on the site. You guys are going to steal the $5,000 from me. Anyway. Guys, chat in the chat. So if you're watching the live video version, you can chat. Don't know if anyone's in here. I'll just send a test. And that's good. Good story. Oh, so as I was saying, you would think that there's going to be like a rush of people. Maybe bad things will happen. Well, if you subscribe or follow the Golden Ticket people on YouTube, you will get a pop-up approximately 5 times per day that they've gone live, because this old man has nothing to do but sit in his exact same chair every day and talk to his newfound followers on the internet. His wife, or is it his daughter? They're very different ages. We're going to take a look at a video in a moment. Or he's been smoking a lot. Maybe it is his daughter this whole time. I just assumed it was his wife. I don't know. Anyway... Point is, they go live several times per day, and he just sits there talking to people. So you get updates if you follow them, but there's only like 68 to 100 people that watch them live. So this is not a huge thing. But the people who do watch it are dedicated, and they bought stuff. And here's an update of what happened in Virginia.
I guess she isn't. Some people might not actually know what happened. Got an email to the submit at thegoldticket.com, which is where you submit your answers to.
Write that down.
Yes. What's in the terms? And it was Cody who said, I have the location. This is the location.
Cody Parker?
Cody Parker.
What other Cody would it be?
He said, it is inaccessible. He said, they're asking us to leave and the police are being called.
Yeah.
We asked for him to call us and he called us and he was right there at the location with the people there. And David talked to them and said, we're going to give you a chunk of money
to make your troubles go away.
Yeah.
To restore normalcy.
Yeah, they were not happy at all. The way people were, I guess, jumping up into things.
You know,
and
I don't blame them either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a place with tanks. It's supposed to be peaceful. Well, maybe not.
That's crazy.
So I guess it sounds like they hid the golden ticket somewhere with tanks. Now, I don't know if they mean water tanks or if they mean military tanks. I'm guessing so based on the joke where he says, they're supposed to be tank. Their tanks are supposed to be peaceful, or maybe not. Ha ha ha. So maybe like a military museum or something like that. But apparently, people were like swarming it, and then the museum or whatever called police to get them out of there. So the golden ticket people called them, and they were like, "Sorry, sorry, sorry, sorry. We'll give you some money to make this go away." So that's what's going on with thegoldticket.com. I'll buy a ticket and I'll let you guys know in 30 days how the clue goes. I hope the clue is something I know about. Now, I've been here for a while, but I've also never been a tourist or done anything that would make me know anything about the state. So hopefully it's something I know, but also most of the cities in this state are on the other side of the state. It's like Concord, Manchester, blah, 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 another city, Nashua, right? Portsmouth. They're all way over on the other side. So if you were hiding a golden ticket and you wanted it to be like away from people, you'd put it on this side of the state in some stupid little small town, right? Where I am. Or if you wanted it to be near everyone else, you'd put it on that side so that people don't have to travel as far. Now, left to right in this state is like 2 hours maximum. So it's not very far no matter what. All right, we're going to move on in the news. The Michigan Supreme Court. We got a lot of news about Michigan today. Maybe you guys have been scrolling CNN.com, but some stuff blew up about 6 hours ago, 8 hours ago. And we'll cover it. But first, Michigan Supreme Court strikes down Whitmer's coronavirus emergency orders. Court ruled 4-3 that Whitmer's decision to declare a state of emergency without approval from state legislatures was unconstitutional, citing the 1976 Emergency Management Act, which states that after 28 days, the governor shall issue an executive order declaring that the state of disaster terminated and request an extension. The plaintiffs in the case were healthcare providers who could not perform non-essential medical procedures due to the extension, according to the majority opinion. The court has restored the voices of 10 million Michiganders by reaffirming the constitutional protections of checks and balances afforded through the separation of powers. Patrick Wright, Vice President for Legal Affairs of the Mackinac Center, which brought the lawsuit against Whitmer that led to the decision, he said in a statement. So this is one of the only states, if not the only, that maybe Pennsylvania did it, and I should probably know that, but I forget. The Supreme Court basically said, or not basically, straight up said, hey, you can't be being a dictator over there with those orders. And that's great. This is great news, and because this was getting really scary, and it still is very scary. All these governors and the president going like, all right, I know that back in elementary school you heard I'm just a bill sitting here on Capitol Hill. I go to the Congress, get voted on, and then I go to the Senate and I'm voted on again, and the people get to talk. But I'm the president, so I'm just going to say, nah, TikTok's banned. Nah, I feel like doing other things. I can just write an order and then it just happens. There's no difference. I don't know. That's it. We learned back in the day that that was a dictator, right? If you just say a thing and it happens, that isn't how the government's supposed to work. Anyway, apparently in Michigan, they said, oh yeah, you're right. We remember way back in the day that you're not supposed to be able to do this without the Congress saying it's okay. Now, does that make everything that goes through Congress like, oh, it followed the process, so it must be right? Obviously not. But this was getting a little bit insane. All right, let's watch a video here and see what this means, though, because for all these places that have to enforce masks and, you know, limits on the number of people who can be in a restaurant, that was all because of this executive order. So has it changed? Can we go? Is everything anarchy again over in Michigan? Let's find out if we can see anything from this video.
Confusion, especially when it comes to the state's mask mandate.
Adding to it, yesterday's order reinstating it from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services has done little to clear it up. Rod Maloney joins us live tonight to help sort through and kind of make sense of what's going on. And Rod, it's not easy.
Well, Kimberly, let's get some specifics in here because I think a lot of people might not have known this. The Supreme Court voted 4-3 overturning the Emergency Powers Act of 1945, but it voted 7-0 to overturn her emergency orders since May 1st. Now, what does the governor want to do? She'd like to keep her mask and the gathering number caps in place. And so what she did was she turned to Robert Gordon, her Department of Health and Human Services director, to use another law to do just that. And that's what he did.
We are all exhausted by the virus. Unfortunately, the virus is not tired of us and it is not done with us. And in fact, cases are increasing in Michigan right now.
What a dork. The virus doesn't care who you are. Just kidding. Wait, if I put a stupid voice on, that means he's dumb? That makes no sense.
Cases are increasing in Michigan, right?
Okay, so her executive order ran out. So she's like, all right, what can I do? So she calls this guy.
Now,
the governor and Gordon both believe masks are the best defense against COVID, so they've looked to a law drawn up after the Spanish flu a century ago, allowing the health department director to create his or her own orders surrounding gatherings.
And in fact, it's a more specific authority that governs a circumstance just like this. The law was written by people who had lived through an awful pandemic and wanted to make sure that the government had the authority to deal with it.
And it all seems to make perfect sense on its face, but when it comes to court cases, things can get complicated, says Patrick Wright, the legal director of the Mackinac Policy Center.
You can be safe and follow the Constitution. They're not mutually exclusive.
The Mackinac Center has two cases pending against the governor and the health department director, having won both. Wright believes the governor is just trying to extend an order that's been ruled unconstitutional when it never came up in the nearly 4 hours of oral arguments before the Supreme Court.
I can stop people because of. And when you don't make that, you lose the case, and then you come back and say, oh, well, I should have argued this, and I'm going to try this new method. It makes it look like you're not respecting the court.
Now, what Wright is saying there is that...
I was going to say, I'm a little confused. Let's see if this fat man named Maloney can sort it out.
Now, what Wright is saying there is that if you don't plead it, then legally you lose the right to use that. You forfeit the right to use this other statute. That's what he believes the court is going to say. Of course, the governor and Gordon disagree with that. You can expect a legal proceeding to go forward in the days ahead.
Oh, great. Okay. So they take the first executive orders out, and then she says, but wait, I have another one. I can use it by calling my friend at the health department, and then he makes the order. I guess. So no one really knows what's going on. What we all have to do is just try to get arrested and then see what the court says, and then that'll sort it out. But it probably won't, because then that'll just be appealed to the next level up, and we just keep doing this for the rest of our lives, so whatever. Well, anyway, this all would have been avoided had these people succeeded. Oh, man, that's terrible. That was just a joke, everyone. Breaking today, At 11:27 a.m., federal agents said Thursday they thwarted a plot to violently overthrow the government and kidnap and harm the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer. A conspiracy that included visits to her home in northern Michigan and training with firearms and explosive devices. This is huge news today, breaking. We should have done this first, and this is going to take a long time to get through. So what do I always say? Put this podcast to X speed, I guess, if you want to get through it quicker. The alleged plots involved six conspirators unhappy in part about Whitmer's coronavirus restrictions, calling her a tyrant. They wanted to create a self-sufficient society free from unconstitutional state governments and discussed plans to storm the Capitol and take hostages, according to FBI documents filed in court. Let's just read the documents, I guess. Organizers allegedly met starting in June, including a Second Amendment rally in Lansing and in a Grand Rapids shop basement accessed through a secret door hidden under a rug. What? Seriously? In a Grand Rapids shop basement accessed through a secret door hidden under a rug? That's I thought that was only in movies and like old-timey westerns. Wait, why did I just old-timey westerns? Get into the secret basement. Oh my goodness. The plot also included at least seven members of a Michigan militia known as the Wolverine Watchmen, accused by state officials on Thursday of targeting police, making threats to instigate civil war, and helping to plan Whitmer's kidnapping. Oh boy. All right. Let's read the affidavit until we get bored. In early 2020, the FBI became aware through social media that a group of individuals were discussing the violent overthrow of certain government and law enforcement components. Among these individuals identified were Croft and Fox, which are Adam Croft and Barry Fox, according to the above. Through electronic communications, Croft and Fox agreed to unite others in their cause and take violent action against multiple state governments that they believe are violating the U.S. Constitution. On June 6, 2020, Croft, Fox, and approximately 13 other people from several states gathered in Dublin, Ohio. CHS-1. So we're going to have to scroll up and find out what CHS-1 means. Confidential human sources. And there's also undercover employees. Okay, so confidential human sources, I guess, are informants, let's say. Someone who the FBI has said, hey, go to this meeting and see what's up. And then there's undercover employees who work for the FBI, I guess. Not all CHSs and undercover employees are present at all times. However, at least one CHS or undercover employee was usually present during group meetings. Wow. All right. So if you're having meetings about overthrowing the government, there's usually going to be a CHS, apparently, according to this. And all the way back in June, they had already infiltrated with CHSs. Unbelievable. All right. CHS-1 was present at this meeting. The group talked about creating a society that followed the U.S. Bill of Rights and where they would be self-sufficient. And by the way, there's a footnote here. I'm sorry to get off topic. There's a footnote here next to CHS-1, and it says the FBI has paid CHS-1 approximately $8,600 to date for expenses. CHS-1 does not have a criminal history and has been deemed reliable by the FBI. Information given by CHS-1 has been shown to be reliable and corroborated through thorough review of recordings and physical surveillance. Wow. So they gave him $8,600, but that's not his paycheck. That's not his like contracting fee. That should be like tens of thousands, right? Guys, I saved the governor. Hello? No, that's just like, that's the expense report. Hey, file your expense report for being an undercover and contact, pretending to want to overthrow the government. How much did it cost? What's your mileage? How much did you have to drive to Ohio? All right. We can do 50 cents a mile. you were weighed down by all the guns in the back. Well, I don't know. We don't really account for that. All right. They discussed different ways of achieving this goal, from peaceful endeavors to violent actions. At one point, several members talked about state governments they believed were violating the U.S. Constitution, including the government of Michigan and Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Several members talked about murdering tyrants or taking a sitting governor. The group decided they needed to increase their numbers, encouraged each other to talk to their neighbors and spread their message. As part of that recruitment effort, Fox reached out to a Michigan-based militia group known as the Militia Group. The militia group had already been brought to the attention of the FBI by a local police department in March 2020 when members of the militia group were attempting to obtain the addresses of local law enforcement officers. At the time, the FBI interviewed a member of the militia group who was concerned about the group's plan to target and kill police officers, and that person agreed to become a CHS. Back when I was hanging out with the anarchists all the time, we were always like, all right, who's the Fed? And it was kind of a joke. And it was mostly a joke, but it wasn't always a joke. And if anyone ever came into the group and they were like, you guys ever think about kidnapping all the cops and holding them in a basement under a rug? We'd go, get out of here, Fed. I wouldn't. I would mostly be like, sure. Just kidding. As reported, all right, attempted recruitment of the militia group and others. As reported by CHS2 and confirmed by the FBI, the militia group periodically meets for field training exercises on private property in remote areas of Michigan where they engage in firearms training and tactical drills. CHS2 told the FBI that at a FTX field training exercise on June 14th, 2020, one of the founders of the militia group said he had been introduced to Fox. Now, I guess I don't know much about militia groups. I mean, maybe they're just not that much different than people who want to go play paintball, only they take real guns and they do real drills. But what do they really expect to ever occur, I guess? Like, they kind of hope the Chinese get here. During that exercise, the militia group leadership had a call with Fox, who invited them to meet at his business in Grand Rapids, Michigan, later in the week. Is it the one with the rug? Fox, in coordination with Croft, met with members of the militia group at various times in June 2020. During one such meeting on June 18th, 2020, which was audio recorded by CHS2. We have to get the audio. Oh my God. It's probably not out yet because the case is still going on. Fox, militia group leadership, including Michigan resident Ty Garbin and CHS2, met at a Second Amendment rally at the state capitol in Lansing, Michigan, in an effort to recruit more members for the operation. Fox told Garbin and CHS2 he planned to attack the Capitol and ask them to combine forces. Oh my! Can you imagine going to the Second Amendment rally and being like, all right, hey, what's up? Nice gun. So we're going to storm this place in a couple months. You in or what? That's so risky. How do you even bring that up? As previously discussed, the FBI was able to monitor much of this activity between Fox and the others through the use of CHSs. On June 14th, 2020, CHS2 participated in a consensually recorded telephone call with Fox, who described the meeting in Dublin, Ohio. Fox said he needed 200 men to storm the Capitol building in Lansing, Michigan and take hostages, including the governor. Fox explained they would try the governor of Michigan for treason and said they would execute a plan before the November 2020 elections. Oh my, this is amazingly interesting, is what I meant to say. On June 20, 2020, Fox, Garbin, and several other individuals, including CHS2, met at Fox's business in Grand Rapids. As part of Fox's operational security, the attendees met in a basement of the shop, which was accessed through a trapdoor hidden under a rug on the main floor. Fox collected all of their cell phones in a box and carried them upstairs to prevent any monitoring. CHS2 was wearing a recording device, however, and captured the audio from the meeting. What a bunch of idiots! They didn't check everyone for wires? From now on, every rally were 100% nude. Rally, every secret meeting, we need to be 100% nude. It's not a gay thing, I promise, but everyone just get naked, please. And, all right, turn around. Bend over. And you're good. All right, Joe, you come over to Jeff. All right, you rub his chest. Make sure there's no wires under his skin. Okay, great. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. All right, awkward. All right, the attendees discussed plans for assaulting the Michigan State Capitol, countering law enforcement first responders, and using Molotov cocktails to destroy police vehicles. The attendees also discussed plans for an additional meeting during the first weekend of July where they would conduct firearms and tactical training. On June 25th, 2020, Fox live streamed a video to a private Facebook group that included CHS2, in which he complained about the judicial system and the state of Michigan controlling the opening of gyms. Fox referred to Governor Whitmer as this tyrant bitch and stated, "I don't know, boys, we got to do something. You guys link with me on our other location system. Give me some ideas of what we can do." This video was preserved by the FBI. On June 28th, 2020, Fox's girlfriend, Garbin, Michigan resident Caleb Frank, blah, 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 and CHS2 attended a tactical training exercise at the Moonith, Michigan residence of a militia group member. Wow, we're getting confused here. After the training, Franks left the residence. Other people, including several people in CHS2, remained at the residence and were told to leave if they were not willing to participate in attacks against the government and kidnapping politicians. This guy saw Olympus Has Fallen a few too many times, right? Where the Chinese get into the White House and take everyone hostage and the president. Like, we can do it. We can storm the Capitol. Fox, Garbin, Caserta, and CHS2 stayed for the rest of the meeting. Franks left before the end of the night, though his departure does not appear to be related to his commitment to the conspiracy. Over the weekend of July 10th to 12th, 2020, Fox, Croft, Garbin, Franks, Caserta, and CHS2, and a few others, attended a training exercise in Wisconsin. Attendees participated in firearms training and other combat drills. On July 11th of the exercise, Croft and a member of the militia group attempted to construct an improvised explosive device using black powder, balloons, a fuse, and BBs for shrapnel. Blah, 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 blah. This is a lot. Okay, we got to scroll. We can't do this. We can't do this. There's too much. All right. On July 18th, CHS2 provided FBI with an audio recording of another meeting. The attendees discussed attacking a Michigan State Police facility, and in a separate conversation after the meeting, Garbin suggested shooting up the governor's vacation home. They're spreading themselves too thin here. They should have just stayed focused. Okay, Capitol building first, guys. We can't be going to vacation homes. That's way too far away. And besides, the FBI capped my mileage and reimbursement. On July 27, 2020, CHS2 met Fox at his business in Grand Rapids. CHS2 provided the FBI with an audio recording of the meeting. This guy's wearing a wire this whole time. Every time he wears a wire, it's a risk, right? What if Fox had at one point been like, you know what, I'm getting a little suspicious of you, CHS2. No big deal, let me just check. And what if he found it? He'd be a dead man. But then, by then, I mean, if you kill a CHS, like imagine you're planning this for months. You reach up CHS2's shirt and you find the wire and you go, shit. Crap. What do you do? Can't kill him, right? Because the FBI already knows he exists. You know you're caught. Anyway. Fox said their best opportunity to abduct the governor would be when she is arriving at or leaving either her personal vacation home or the governor's official summer residence. Both residences are located in the Western District of Michigan. Fox described it as a snatch and grab, man. Grab the fucking governor. Grab the bitch, because at that point, we do that, dude. It's over. Fox said that after kidnapping the governor, the group would remove her to a secure location in Wisconsin for trial. Fox suggested they get a realtor to help. Feel like it's a bias trial. She's a fucking bitch. She's a tyrant. All right, we're going to get her over to trial. It'll probably be a fair trial. I mean, she deserves her day in court, right, everyone? After we kidnap her? Fox suggested they get a realtor to help them find the exact location of the vacation home and collect information on the surrounding homes and structures. Fox discussed the importance of knowing the layout of the yard, homes, and security. Fox stated they needed to map out the surrounding property and gates, and they needed plumbers and electricians to help them read blueprints to refine their strategy. They're on freaking Angie's list now. All right, we're going to need plumbers, we're going to need electricians, and a realtor. What's your job? It's not really related to any repairs, let's say. Fox also suggests recruiting an engineer or an IT guy, a demo guy, or other operators. What? They're starting a whole business now? We're going to need HR up in here. Like, if someone has a complaint against someone else, we're going to need a whole HR department. Oh, boy. All right, let's scroll down. several stuff happens. There's a group chat. Okay, sounds good. I'm in for anything as long as it's well planned. The conspirators often communicate via encrypted online platforms and use code words. For example, on July 24th, CHS2 and Garbin contacted Fox by telephone. The call was recorded. Fox said he had researched the governor's office online and he believed the governor kept only a ceremonial office in Lansing. Fox wondered aloud whether the group just needed to party it out, make a cake, and send it, in which CHS2 believed was code for sending a bomb to the governor. We're only like halfway through this. All right, let's scroll down. Scroll down. Oh, here's some emojis. On August 30th, 2020, Fox shared photos from a surveillance trip to the encrypted chat group. Garbin offered to paint his personal boat black to support the surveillance of the vacation home from the lake where the vacation home is situated. In a text message conversation the same day, Garbin asked CHS2 how the surveillance trip had gone. CHS2 shared a screenshot of a map of the area, which happened to show a bridge in the vicinity. Using symbols and emoticons, Garbin replied, "If the bridge go down, it also X the wave," suggesting the demolition of the bridge would hinder a police response. They need bombs. They're going to blow up a bridge now? This is insane. All right, so they apparently do nighttime surveillance on September 12th and 13th. Oh, man. On September 12th, 2020, while driving from Garbin's property to Cadillac to bring others to the property, Fox told CHS2 and another individual that the vacation home is the governor's actual house. It's a perfect fucking setup. Out of everywhere that she resides, this is the only one that's probably actually feasible with a success rate. That conversation was also recorded by CHS2. This is going to be amazing if these recordings ever come out. Are you guys getting bored? This is a lot. Let's see. On the morning of September 13th, I scrolled a bunch, and we've only gone from September 12th to December 13th. On September 17th, in the group chat, Fox asked the group what it thought of a militia group invitation to participate in an armed protest at the state capitol. Garbin replied, "I would always highly advise minimizing any communication with him. Also, there needs to be zero public interaction if we want to continue with our plans. When the time comes, there will be no need to try and strike fear through presence. The fear will be manifested through bullets." "Copy that, boys, loud and clear," Fox responded. On September 30th, 2020, we're getting near today's date, Fox called CHS2 on the phone and CHS2 recorded the conversation. During the call, Fox discussed purchasing a taser for use in the kidnapping operation. Fox also told CHS2 that Croft, Garbin, Harris, Franks, Caserta, and others were aware of the $4,000 cost. And on October 2nd, 2020, this is like a week ago, Fox confirmed he purchased an 800,000-volt taser. The FBI's review of recent encrypted group chats indicate that in preparation for their plan to kidnap Governor Whitner, these people plan to meet with a UAC on October 7th, 2020. This is, again, an undercover employee of the FBI, to make a payment on explosives and exchange tactical gear. This is what they do. The FBI, using their undercover informant, says, "Hey, guys, their undercover informant who's not an employee, guys, I got a hookup for some bombs and some stuff. It's my guy across the bridge." All right. So then you hook up with the FBI guy who shows up and he says, "I got the stuff." And then as soon as you buy it, they're like, "Nope, you're in jail." Croft has returned to Delaware and is not available for this exchange. On several occasions, Fox had expressed his intention and desire to kidnap Governor Whitner before November 3rd, 2020, the date of the national election. That's the end of the thing. All right? So if you guys want to read the news basically summarized it, but we just read the entire indictment pretty much, except for the couple times I scrolled because it was getting too repetitive. This is insane. They really had like a thing going on here, and they really surveilled the governor's home, which is not good, but like, think about it. Okay. Having meetings, talking about killing the governor, going to the governor's house to surveil it. None of that's illegal, right? Really? I mean, it's pretty bad. That's a lot of evidence. So I think, does it say they did the exchange? It just says they plan to meet with the undercover informant on October 7th. I think that this must have been, it's filed October 6th. This was filed the day before. So this would have happened yesterday. All right, let's see if there's actually any information. Arrested? The investigation is a result of months of work that culminated Wednesday night in the execution of a series of search warrants and arrest warrants, both in-state and out-of-state, related to acts of terrorism under Michigan state law. The conspiracy described by the FBI specifically involved six people. Blah, blah, blah. Ooh, here's this guy on TikTok. Let's see what he says.
Tell you what's like one of the hardest challenges in life that you'll probably never be able to get away with, and that's to not get robbed by the state. All right, y'all, here's a thought for today. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance, and indifference to this notion is the means by which the people can and will secure their own oppression. Wake the f*** up.
Duh. That guy's cool. He also has very big earrings, or ear gauges, or rather. Through confidential sources, undercover agents, and clandestine recordings, federal agents tracked the six men during their planning to kidnap Whitmer. I wonder, like, being one of those undercover informants, you gotta keep up the plan the whole time. I'd be so nervous. I'd be like, you guys, you want to kill the governor? Yeah, I want to kill the governor too. I'm not undercover. I wonder how many times they talked amongst themselves. Like, are you guys undercover? Or not? Or are they just too dumb to not even like think of that? Oh, well. This is interesting. This is one of the best stories that's come out in a while as far as interest goes. But this is terrible that if this would have happened. I mean, I'm sure she would have gotten off at the trial, right? It would have been a fair trial, right? They would have been like, you know, you are a bitch, but, you know, we're just going to find you not guilty, right? All right. So, speaking of Michigan, you guys, I headed over to Michigan a few weeks ago. As everyone knows, I was going to run a race, right? And I get there, and it's just going to be like a 5K. And they were, like I said on the last show, and you should catch it in your glove, in your baseball glove, and then put it in your hat, and then be like, I'm a kid, I want this signed by my favorite baseball player, Nick. catch the show from last week where I read the entire instructions from the race director of, okay, because of the virus, we're still putting on the thing. But this health department says we have to do all this stuff, right? And I was like, this is so dumb. This is going to be the dumbest race. They're starting in waves of 30 people at a time or whatever. Fine. So I go to Michigan. And I'm like, hey, parents, we're just going to hang it out for a few days. And I decide, hey, what should we do? You know what? I love disc golfing. I'm going to go to Dick's. I go to Dick's, my favorite store. And I grab a few disc golfs, and I bring them back home, and my parents and I go disc golfing. Now, in New Hampshire, disc golfing, I'm used to, like, you go to the woods, and you stand in one part of the woods, and you basically throw a frisbee disc to another part of the woods, and you try not to hit trees. That's not what it's like in Western Michigan, for the most part. It is just a field, and there's baskets, and then they're set a certain amount of away from what they call the tee, where you throw off from. But the most complicated holes are like there's three trees in the way. This is not an area known for its trees. But one of the holes at this particular course was a little more challenging. You actually had to throw around like a curve. To the left too far it goes in the water, and to the right too far it goes in like the only trees that are around and like a little bushy area, right? So I'm okay. Dad throws, and we've been playing for a while. This is not our first time playing. We played a couple days. Dad throws, his disc goes a bit into the woods. And it was a fine throw. And so I run around the long way, and I see it. And I'm like, ah, that's super easy to get to. I don't know why I need to go get Dad's disc. I'm not throwing it, but I kind of just wanted to get to it for whatever reason, to like see how hard the throw would be from his point of view. So I'm like, all I got to do is jump on this log and run across to the disc. Like, I've done hiking before. I've been in the woods. I've stood on logs, right? But I jump on the log, and like, I'm not 100% sure what happened, but I think my left foot slips, and then I try to like step forward or trips or something like that, and I try to step forward to catch myself, and unfortunately, my right foot catches on a branch that's sticking up from the log. It's just a little nub of a branch, but you know how the logs do. So my right foot catches on the branch. And then I assume I put my arms down to try to catch myself because I'm now a falling man. But it's a log. So I don't. Because my arms would go on either side of the log. And I hit my whole side. Full on fall strength on my ribs. And I go, I can sort of breathe. And Dad's behind me. And I'm like, I'm okay. And then my second thought is, oh, my coworker just broke his ribs skiing. And my third thought is, oh, I'm running. There's a race tomorrow. Am I injured? And I, of course, do the thing that you're supposed to do whenever you crash your motorcycle or you fall, which is you go, I'm okay. Everything's fine. And you jump up and you go, I meant to do that pretty much. I'm sure it's fine. So we finish the hole and I'm like, ow. That really hurt. I can sort of breathe. I'm like taking deep breaths, kind of trying to see if I collapsed a lung. I didn't, and I didn't think I did because I could still breathe fully, but it hurt a lot. So I try to finish the course. I like throw, and then I go, ow, it hurts so bad. This is terrible. Right? Unbelievable. I injure myself disc golfing, walking on a log. Crazy. We go home. I ice. It's not getting a ton better. I go pick up my number for the race, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. I guess I just still race, right? So I wake up the next day, and I'm still hurting. Like, this is not normal. Like, normally you hit your arm, and you get, like, a little bruise, and you go, ow, why did I freaking hit my arm? I'm an idiot because I just walk into things and then the next day is like, it's completely fine. No. So I take some Tylenol and I'm like, well, I'm still going to try the race. We head out to the race. We got to go there at like 6 a.m. because of the amount of time that they have to start every wave of this race. I line up. I'm like, I'm just going to try running it. I've been planning for this for a long time. So they go 3, 2, 1. Boom. We race. And I know I said last week that I was going to say, I'm not going to buy into this, at least you got to race BS. This is stupid and I'm going to hate it. Well, one downside was that it was 6:30 a.m. We had to run in the literal dark. So I raced with a headlamp on. Other than that, when we started running, my first thought was, huh, my ribs actually don't hurt that much. And my second thought was, this actually does feel like racing. We did it. We made it to a race. And I know you people who don't run won't understand what I'm saying. But it was the first time in months and months and months that I got the feeling where, yeah, we're for real racing. And that was great. Now, I run. I think I can win this race going into it, but I left out in my logic of thinking that if this is the only race running in the area for quite a long time, that it's going to draw some serious runners. So the guy in front of me starts to pull away and it's dark and I don't know the way. So I'm like, please don't get out of my sight. Please don't get out of my sight. And over the 5 miles, he gets further and further away. And at a certain point, I'm like squinting and like looking for just his legs glistening off the reflection of the road so I know where to go. And I finish second. All right, here's the race results. Alex Ralston, super fast. He beat me. Nick Ryder, who came in a 8K in 27 minutes and 55 seconds, which is super freaking fast. 5 minute, 35 minute per mile pace, assuming it was measured right, which I have no reason to think it was not. And then his stupid wife was only two spots behind me. So they are super fast. Anyway, finished the race, and I'm like, ah, wow, I did fast, and my ribs hurt. So we go home, I ice more, and nothing's getting better. I go home, I fly all the way home at the end of the trip, and I get to the next Monday, so a week and a day, week and 2 days after I fell on the log, and I cannot move or sleep, really. I can sleep in one position on my back, and not on either side, and in the middle of the night, if I want to, like, I feel like an old, I'm like, is this what it's like to be old? You can't move? My mom's like, yes, it is. That is what it's like. I'm like, this is terrible. So the next Monday, I'm like, this is dumb. This hurts so bad. Maybe I broke my ribs. And people are like, if you broke your ribs, there's not going to be anything you can do anyway. The chat says, broken ribs can be very painful, but are rarely fatal. But once I had one and had no idea until I got a chest x-ray for the pneumonia I also had, there is no treatment. How long after the broken rib incident did you get the x-ray? It's like months later I got pneumonia and they checked and said, oh, your ribs are broken? So Monday comes and I'm like, it hurts bad. I know there's no treatment for broken ribs. But what if, like, I did some serious damage that they can see in an x-ray or something? Maybe I should just go to the hospital and get it. I know it's going to be expensive because it was when they x-rayed my leg and found nothing. And I'm like, they're probably going to find nothing. And then I think, this hurts so bad. If it still hurts this bad on, like, Wednesday or Thursday, I'm probably going to go to the doctor. And then I go, but it's Monday. And the chances of it still hurting this bad on Wednesday or Thursday are pretty high based on how I feel and how the last 9 days have gone. So I might as well just take Andrew's advice and, like, if you're going to do it now. So I just go to the doctor on Monday. They x-ray me. They say, nope, nothing broken. I'm like, okay, but it hurts real bad. They're like, just wait it out. I'm like, okay. And then 8 days after that, I went running again, and it still hurt, but it was okay. So good news, I'm healed or something. I mean, I can still feel it. Like at night, if I do a sit-up, well, not at night, if I do a sit-up anytime, I can still feel it. And that's not great. So I wonder if it's going to be like this forever. Like, do I keep re-aggravating it by running? I feel like there's a bump here. See, but I'm making this stuff up, so I don't know. Anyway, so that's what happened. Now I'm healed. All right, we've been doing this show for about an hour, and I'm only like halfway through the stuff, so let's fly through a few more stories here. Amazon and eBay have blocked the sale of merchandise with Stand Back and Stand By. This is the Stand Back, Stand By. So during the first debate between Trump and Biden, they said, Trump, will you denounce the Proud Boys? And Trump said, Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. And to this day, nobody knows what he means by that. I don't think he's clarified. And everyone's like, oh my God, he's talking to the Proud Boys like they're a militia. Stand back and then stand by. So people started creating articles of clothing. Stand back, stand by, with the PB in the middle. Proud Boys. Ooh, the show that I spun off from should make a YB shirt, the Yogurt Boys shirt. It just says stand back and stand back. Stand back, stand back, Yogurt Boy. Amazon began blocking sales of these items on Wednesday, and Amazon spokesperson confirmed all sellers must follow our selling guidelines, and those who do not will be subject to action, including potential removal of their account. The products in question have been removed. So basically, the president said something, you put it on a shirt, and then it was banned from Amazon. That's not a good sign for what you said, I don't think. Stand back, stand by. All right, well, no one knows what that means. Guess we'll find out later. So a couple days after that, a couple days after the debate, Trump wakes up and he goes, well, I wake up. Trump was already awake. And I find out, hey, Trump's got the COVID. This is old news by this point, right? He gets corona. He heads to the hospital. Photos of Trump working during coronavirus spark suspicion. Photos and videos of the Trump supposedly working through COVID-19 treatment have aroused suspicion online after several viewers pointed out that his work appeared to just involve signing blank sheets of paper and sitting with empty binders. The doubt surfaced over the weekend amid a tide of contradictory information from the White House and the president's doctors, who have offered conflicting news about the timeline of his diagnosis. Blah, 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 blah. Close inspection shows that the paper he's signing is blank, and many critics pointed it out on Twitter. He's also shown in another room here with the same exact stuff that was in the first room. So there's multiple photos of him signing and writing on pieces of paper, but they just took like four binders and then had him write on some paper, and then they took the four binders to another room and they had him write on more paper. Why? I don't understand. There's really no point to this. Like, here, do a photo op. Is he saying, guys, show me working. Is there any work to do? Bring me a bill. By the way, what does the president literally do with a pen and paper? Do they do all their work with pen and paper? Or does he have like a computer? I feel like as the president, you should have a computer with like just Teams up all the time getting a lot of messages. Anyway, whatever. Barnes in the chat says, fell and slipped on someone's trashy ass carpeted staircase, slid all the way down on my back. Oh my God, that's crazy. Well, yeah, I know. Everyone's saying like, yeah, Nick, I've fallen and bruised or broken my ribs. It's not a big deal. I'm like, this is the worst injury I've ever had and nobody cares. No, they don't care. I didn't care when my coworker broke his ribs. I mean, I cared. I was like, oh my goodness, you broke your ribs. That sounds insane. And he was like, it's fine. It'll be fine in a few days. I'm like, wow. Okay, that sounds horrible. I hope that never happens to me. And then it very nearly did. Luckily, I'm not an old man. That fall would have killed me if I was like 10 years older. So we'll see if it ever gets better. If it ever goes away all entirely. So Trump gets COVID. He's working from the hospital. And he's Twittering constantly. We don't have time to go through all his tweets, but if you scroll down, he must have had nothing to do. Because he was like, bring me some work. I'm going to write on some blank pieces of paper. I'm going to practice writing my name. Take a photo of me in multiple rooms writing my name. I'm so bored. All right, give me my phone. I got to Twitter more. And he just Twitters in all capital letters, whatever he's thinking in that moment. Did you guys know that he also has a he has a videography team or whatever. I mean, I'm sure that the White House has always had a videography team. They've probably got a plumber. They've probably got an electrician. They've probably got IT guys, right? They've got a whole business running over there. I don't know what they're trying to do. They might be trying to take over the government with all those people. Anyway, but there's a videography department. And I don't know whose idea it is to make videos like this, but this is a video of Trump returning to the White House. So it's just a helicopter flying in. It's landing in slow motion. The wheels are touching. The door is opening. Some guy is coming out, and now it's Trump. He's like, hi, everyone. Hi! He waves his hand. He's at the White House now, saluting, because he's our dearest leader, the Trump. Amazing. What a great video. That's a cool video. I wish I was patriotic and loved Trump more, because that's like, wow, that's amazing. I love that. It's very Kim Jong-un-y, right? All right, everyone, come on over, celebrate the leader. Here's a video to Twitter that Trump posted yesterday. Well, I'm just going to let you listen for yourself.
Because I feel great. I feel like perfect. So I think this was a blessing from God that I caught it. This was a blessing in disguise. I caught it. I heard about this drug. I said, let me take it. It was my suggestion. I said, let me take it. And it was incredible the way it worked. Incredible. And I think if I didn't catch it, we'd be looking at that like a number of other drugs. But it really did a fantastic job. I want to get for you what I got, and I'm going to make it free. You're not going to pay for it. It wasn't your fault that this happened. It was China's fault. And China's going to pay a big price what they've done to this country. China's going to pay a big price what they've done to the world. This was China's fault. And just remember that. So we're going to get you the drug. It's going to be free. We're going to get it into the hospitals.
I want Trump Goodwill Hunting style going, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's China's fault. It's China's fault. It's China's fault. You hear what he said there? He said, I went to the hospital with COVID, and it was my idea to take this specific drug. I picked out the drug. Basically, I'm in the pharmacy going, what you guys got? How about this one? And they give it to him, and he's like, it works great. If it weren't for me getting the coronavirus and also picking the best drug on the shelf, you guys would never even know that this was the best drug. It's because of me. It's because of me. Unbelievable. I can't. He's literally claiming he cured the coronavirus. Pretty much. Fight breaks out on a flight to Provo. To Provo? After passenger refuses to wear mask. What's Provo? Oh, it's Utah. This is crazy.
Yeah, Dan and Ashley, Riley Lansford was sitting right by the two men who got into a fight on that Allegiant flight yesterday afternoon. But as soon as one of them threw the first punch, she got out of there and started recording.
It was absolutely insane to me because it's all about a mask. It didn't need to get that way, said Lansford. All right, we love news about planes. When Riley boarded a plane in Mesa, Arizona Saturday, it was headed to Provo. Must be called pronounced Provo, right? I'm just an idiot. This Provo's I'm an idiot. She expected a typical flight. A typical flight that included wearing a mask. What she didn't expect was for a fight to break out. The flight on the Allegiant flight. Oh my goodness. The fight on the Allegiant flight. Flight on the fight in the think-a-don't. Provo started after a passenger sitting in the row behind Riley argued with a flight attendant over wearing a face mask. He was wearing a face shield, but according to Allegiant's policy, face shields must be worn in addition to a face covering, but not as an alternative. Riley said another passenger sitting next to her turned around and started heckling the man. At first, I thought it was banter between friends because it was kind of weird, but then you quickly learned that the words that they were saying to each other were not friendly. I think that some of these maskers are really looking for a fight, too. They're like, oh, great, a person who's kind of shitty. I can yell at him for not wearing a mask. This is great. I can yell at someone today. Right? Eventually, the flight attendant attempted to escort the passenger who wouldn't wear a mask off the plane, but the guy next to Riley continued to egg him on. Then I hear and see one swing of an arm, and I just bolted to the front of the plane with the flight attendants. She said the passenger who refused to wear a mask was kind of choking the other man or had a hold of his neck and then started pulling the man's hair and hitting him in the back. All right, let's check the video and see if there's any good info. Ha! Huh. Wait, the guy with the mask is still grabbing it. All right, that was only a couple seconds long. The fight was broken up after about 30 seconds. Riley said she hopes her next flight won't be quite as eventful. Oh yeah, what is she going to say? I hope there's 5 fights on the next one. That was pretty fun. Whatever. Anyway, that's pretty funny. Here's a post from the Eaton Rapids Park in Michigan. All of our news is from Michigan. Every story is from Michigan. This is basically Michigan with Nick. We're going to rename the whole show. Every news story is Michigan. This is from the Eaton Park Police Department. Let's see what the news has to say. Oh, actually, let's read the Facebook post first, because that always has the best news. On Monday, September 24th, at approximately 4:40 p.m., the police department was dispatched to Hoe Field in regards to a suspicious situation. A group of people at the playground reported to officers that they had located several razor blades on and around the equipment. Some of the blades appeared to have been placed intentionally to cause harm. Ow. Ooh. The citizens recovered approximately 39 blades prior to officers' arrival. The officers and city staff recovered an additional two. The witnesses report seeing four persons of interest that had been on the equipment. They were described as two males and two females, approximately 17 to 18 years of age. Ow! The park will remain closed until further notice. Ooh. The search is on for suspects in connection with razor blades that were found at two Eaton Rapids parks. People at the park said they found about 40 razor blades before police arrived.
Speaker from Speaker Law Firm.
Oh, here's an ad. Wait, this joining does not make any sense. I don't know what that was, but that seemed like a pretty cool show.
Public parks this afternoon after police find razor blades in multiple parks. It's our top story at noon. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for watching today. I'm Kiara Hay, and Siobhan will be in later this evening. According to a social media post from the Eaton Rapids Police, all public parks will remain closed until they can do a clean sweep of the areas. Officers were first made aware of razor blades in Howell Field City Park just before 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Unfortunately, it doesn't say how the razor blades were situated. Like, if you really wanted to do it. No. Let's, okay. You'd put the blade, like, in the slide, pointing up. But you have to, like, dig it into the plastic of the slide a little bit so you couldn't see it. And then, oh, God. And then someone goes down it, and they're cut to shreds. Ow! It hurts just thinking about. All right, check it, Holly. Kids, this Halloween, check your slides for razor blades, right? Dads like to put it in there to get rid of their kids. It wasn't my fault. I didn't see those at all. Your kid comes down, it's just like four slices. Ow! Ow! Why do I say these things? Oh, God. All right. There is actually an update to this story. Eaton Rapids police said they believe several kids may be responsible for placing dozens of razor blades on a playground in a city park. The police chief wrote in another Facebook post that it would be inappropriate to comment further while the investigation is ongoing. Some of the blades appear to have been intentionally placed to cause harm, they said last week. Blah, blah, blah. Witnesses told police they saw four teenagers, two boys, and two girls on the playground equipment, according to the news release. Cody, who lives down the street. Is it Cody Parker? No, Cody Orr, who lives down the street from the park, was nearby when he saw uniformed police officers in the park. He lent them some of his high-powered magnets he uses for magnet fishing in the Grand River to aid their search for razor blades. Magnet fishing? You go, what? What does that even mean? You go over the river with a magnet and you try to pull out old tin cans? Because you're not pulling out any money. Is tin even magnetic? Is anything even made of tin, or is it aluminum? What is tin? Is tin the same as aluminum? No. Oh, well, I guess we'll never know. I don't know what you'd pull out magnet fishing. Now we got to do a whole nother search. Or said 20 of the razor blades were in a circle pattern out in the open, and the others were hidden in the park. So they were doing a ritual with the blades. We've never had anything like this happen. Luckily, parents saw it before the kids went down the slides. Oh, my goodness. I hope they find them, and I hope they throw the books down. The book down. Once police complete their investigation, they will turn it over to the prosecutor's office for review. Magnet fishing. The chat says, check the periodic table if you want to know what tin is. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminum, silicon. Oh, it's an element. That was not me reading the periodic table. That was me saying it because I know like 20 of them in a row. I know that you nerds know all 118. Don't even start with me. And I know that it's probably more than 118. Let's see. What is magnet fishing? Will my giant magnet pull from a deep lake? All right, let's find out on YouTube. Oh, no, wait. We just have an ad for Gene Shaheen. All right, we're not going to look up magnet fishing. This is for the after show. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe they just want to pull out metal fish because they're worth more. All right, last couple stories we got to bang through today. Two former detention officers and their supervisor were charged Monday after an investigation found that inmates at the Oklahoma County Jail were forced to listen to the children's song Baby Shark on loop at loud volumes for extended periods of time. Okay. Is this in the news because it's funny? Yes. Is it in the news because it's rare? Maybe. Would it be in the news if they were just blasting Sandman? From, what's his name? Metallica? That guy? Is that even a guy or is it a band? Or is it an element? Who knows? Hydrogen, helium, lithium, Metallica. It's the fourth one! At least four inmates were subjected to the inhuman discipline in an attorney visitation room of the jail last November and December, according to the charge. The inmates was forced to stand the entire time, hands cuffed behind them and secured to the wall, the investigation found. Charges were blah, 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 blah. They've been charged with cruelty to prisoner and conspiracy. It was unfortunate that I could not find a felony statute to fit this fact scenario. Again, another prosecutor going, I couldn't find a law strong enough. It's unfortunate I couldn't find a felony to charge them with. No, that's not how it works. You go, okay, what did he do? What's the law? Okay, it's a misdemeanor. It's not unfortunate. I mean, obviously, yes, we want corrections officers to face the harshest penalties because we hate them because they're pretty much cops, right? Aria DeMezzo for sheriff. whatever. Butler and Miles are accused of imposing rogue discipline, and Hendershot, a lieutenant, is accused of knowing about it and doing nothing to stop it. The sheriff said Monday that Butler and Miles were suspended from any contact with inmates as soon as I knew about it. We won't tolerate this. We always did an excellent job policing ourselves. They systematically worked together and used the attorney booth as a means to discipline inmates and teach them a lesson because they felt that disciplinary action within the detention center was not working, correcting the behavior. So basically, they put him in the room, they handcuffed him, they made him stand, and then they blasted Baby Shark. The music put undue emotional stress on the inmates who are most likely already suffering from physical stressors. Blah, blah, blah. Learned of the mistreatment. No immediate action. Investigators used video surveillance recordings to identify the suspicious incidents. Some inmates were in the room as long as 2 hours listening to Baby Shark. All right, guys. Next after show, Baby Shark for 2 hours while handcuffed and standing in a dark room and thinking that you'll never get out of there. And that your family has forgotten you exist, right? That's probably happy. All right, final story. We love stories of people touching food inappropriately. Domino's investigating after a pizza delivery driver caught rubbing ice cream container on his crotch. There's nothing appetizing about this special delivery, the news says. The UK branch of Domino's is investigating after a pizza delivery driver was caught on camera rubbing a customer's food on his crotch and then handing over the order. Jonathan Terry of England recently ordered from the pizza chain during a night in with friends, the news says. The great blah, 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 blah guy. The man was watching a movie with pals and digging into the tub of birthday cake-flavored Ben & Jerry's from Domino's when a call from his girlfriend stopped him in his tracks. Tracks? About 20 minutes after we received the delivery, we went to get the ice cream out. And weirdly, I had a call from my girlfriend. She said, I hope you haven't eaten the ice cream that Domino's have sent you. She then told me to go and look at the Ring doorbell footage. What the heck? The girlfriend's just staring at the doorbell footage? Upon reviewing the video From the home security footage, Terry was horrified to learn that the delivery driver had knocked on the door and rubbed the pint of ice cream on his crotch before handing it over to the unknown customer. All right, is there a video of it happening here, or is this a photo? All right, I'm reading the footage. Okay, so it is a photo of the man holding a pizza in his left hand, and he's holding the ice cream in his right hand. Whatever. It's sealed ice cream. It was quite disrespectful and very vile, Terry, 31, said. My housemate said he felt violated. He was not happy. After complaining to Domino's about the incident, the customer said he was offered complimentary coupons but refused the gesture, saying he never wants to eat from the chain again. After what your delivery driver has done, I don't feel safe, and I don't want to oblige to ever buy an order from Domino's again. I want to make sure people are aware of what has happened. We were extremely disappointed to see this film and our driver's behavior. Oh, sorry. This is Domino's again. We were extremely disappointed to see this film and our driver's behavior is unacceptable. We expect high standards of behavior at all times, and clearly this individual has breached the trust of the All right. So he might have had an itch on his bizalls, right? His hands are full. You got to adjust. Maybe he didn't put enough powder on that morning. And he's like, ah, oh, I'm sticky. You don't think. You guys have done it. You've taken the ice cream and your hands are full and you've gone, all right, good, good. All right, here's your ice cream. It's a, what other explanation could there be? Okay, I'm feeling very aroused right now, and this ice cream is really getting me on, and I would like to rub it on my crotch real quick before I hand it over, because that's my fetish. I hate this customer, so I'm going to secretly rub this ice cream on my crotch, and he'll never know, and no one else will ever know. It'll just be my brain that knows. There's almost no explanation. It was probably nothing, but... And it was just on the outside. It's not like it went inside. Your hand touched the outside of the ice cream, which touched the outside of his pants, which touched the inside of his pants, which touched his unders. It's not even close. What if you'd rubbed it on his thigh? It's the same thing. Oh, this makes no sense. Oh, well, they're offended, so guess he's fired. From now on, all Domino's deliveries completely nude, so we don't have this ever happen again. All right, it has been News with Nick. All the news from Michigan. Thanks for coming to the show. Let's see what the chat has to say. Uh-oh, I lost the chat. I don't even know what tab it went to. Magnet shark doo 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 doo. Nice one, right? Because you're going to fish the... All right. Newswithnick.com is the website. Tell your friend and see if he will listen also. And subscribe on your phone app so you always get the updates. And type your phone number into the website at newswithnick.com. I promise you only get like text updates every 2 weeks because that's how often I do the show at most. And you're not going to get spammed. I'm not going to sell your data. Right? Isn't that what companies say? Don't worry, we won't sell your data to Facebook so that they can resell it to the Chinese. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for coming.